You know, how's everybody going? Doing good? How's the food? Who cooked the jambalaya? What's his name again? He's not here? The guy who cooked the jambalaya did a great job, and so y'all give them a hand clap. They did a great job of cooking. Eddie Joe, I like a jambalaya with a lot of meat. How many of you like meat? Yeah. This is real men, right? Real men like meat, and so I like when I dig down. I want some meat on that fork, and we had that with the jambalaya, and so you know, that's a blessing, and thank God for them. You know, Pastor Marvin Poole is a great pastor. How many of you appreciate Pastor Marvin Poole? Souls Harbor. Some of you done parked your ship here, amen, and you're in the harbor getting worked on, and so I thank God for Pastor Marvin Poole. He's just a blessing. Years ago, I'll give you a little story. You want a little story? Sure. You need a little story before you hear what I'm about to tell you. Before I step on your toes, can I get an amen? Amen. Now, I'm one of them preachers. Ooh, it's like right there. I'm one of them preachers that kind of beat around the bush and, you know, serve it up real simple like, right? So, but Pastor Marvin, you know, it's funny. We've been knowing each other. How many years, Pastor Marvin? A long time. And we're in Gonzales one day, and I forgot what we were doing, but we're together, and we're riding around, and I've spoken at different things here, you know, the business luncheon and some other things, and he's always been on me about coming over here and speaking, and so, but Pastor Marvin's like, man, he saw Eddie Joe, and he saw his truck. He said, hey, man, I want you to meet this guy, Eddie Joe Wagner, and so he brought me over there, and I met Eddie Joe Wagner. We got to talking. And, man, the more we talked, you know, the more we got to just, you know, get in vision. And before you know it, that year, I think it was that year, we ended up together putting on a PBR, which is a professional bull riding event. And it was the Enterprise event. And we did it at Lamar Dixon. And, man, it was that year, wasn't it? It was that year we did that. And man, we cast the net. They had, you know, a couple thousand people in there. And cast the net. We had Cody Custer was there with us, and you know, just we had 200 people come down in the dirt. It was an awesome event. Well, what I didn't know is, you know, I've been in Special Forces. I'm a Marine sniper. I'm a Combat Navy diver. I'm a Halo parachuter. I mean, I've done the whole gamma of all of that. I've hung from bottom of helicopters, and you know, just, you know, been through swamps and around different countries and just all over the place. So, I was in Force Recon. So. Man, in all of that, I never broke a thing until I met Eddie Joe Wagner. I meet Eddie Joe Wagner, and in the course of the last 11 years, about 11 years now since we've known each other, right? So about the course of the last 11 years, I now have 11 broke bones. I messed up my sternum, hurt my knee very, very, very badly. You know, most of them things were involving hanging out with Eddie Joe Wagner. And multiple contusions. I mean, just real men stuff, you know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, last year I broke my leg. So I couldn't blame you on that one. I broke my leg last year. But anyway, it's been amazing because what that did was it started something. The PBR turned into Extreme Rodeo, and we started doing Extreme Ranch Rodeo. And, man, we've been doing that every year now. And last year we cleared $100,000 that went to scholarshiping kids to get a Christian education. And I just, you know, want to show you where that's come and where that's been. And, you know, this year it's even bigger already. We have LSU coming, and, you know, they're doing our whole ag part. I mean, the government's in it, the parish government, the LSU school system. I mean, everyone's involved. We'll have thousands and thousands of people that will come through, probably 10, 11, 12,000 people that are going to come through. We got a fair, car show, fishing rodeo, roping, got, you know, ranch rodeo, bull riding, bull fighting. And so we got all kind of stuff that's going to be going on, but that's in a few months. That's going to be at Lamar Dixon. But it all started with Pastor Marvin, you introducing me to Eddie Joe. And it's funny, I was talking to a guy today that's a very successful businessman, and he said, man, how do you end up you know, doing this and doing that and doing that. And I said, well, I said, it's all about relationships. I said, because I just kind of go with the flow. I just go with the flow. God puts me with people, and I just go with the flow. And that ends up, that's how we end up being at those different places. Like, we have a campus in Africa. That same thing, Pastor Joe, was just through relationships. You and I went there years ago. Isaac texted me today, by the way. So he and I helped plant one in Mozambique. And we're in Haile, Africa. We also planted another one in Haile after Africa. And then another one for Pastor Brandon, who's in West Virginia. So, but we got campuses all over the place. We're in Mexico. You guys are involved in Mexico. We're in Plazuela. We have a campus there. We feed kids there as well. We have a lot of campuses locally, and then even in all the way in Rose Pine, Louisiana. And so, but it's just all through relationships, schools, nonprofits, just all kind of stuff. But it's all just by relationships. And so these things are very important, you know, these teachings and what God is doing in your life. But never underestimate the power of the relationship of the person that's sitting around the table with you. Because it's amazing where that will bring you. And speaking of relationships, you know, we have Pastor Joe Martin here, who's also the owner of ITI Technical College. And he's also one of our pastors. He graduated New Orleans Seminary, and he's also one of our senior elders. And I have, presbyters and senior elders that hold me accountable. And Joe Martin's been a good friend. He's the one that tells me to stay away from Eddie Joe. But just a great leader in the church, has just always been there, a very faithful man, and appreciate his friendship greatly. Everything he has, he wants to use it for God, and just a great man of God. So why don't you stand up, Joe, and why don't you guys welcome him, appreciate him. Pastor Joe's got me in some pretty crazy things, too. Yeah, we almost broke some stuff. Yeah, he's supposed to be a senior elder, and we're snow skiing. And we get to this thing that said experts only. It says black, experts only. I said, man, Joe, I don't know about that. He said, oh, come on, you can do it. I made it about halfway down before the agony of defeat hit me. But and then also Jeff Lee, where you at, Jeff? Jeff has came up with us, and Jeff's a very faithful man, loves the Lord. And I'll tell you what, Pastor Marvin, I mean, it's men like Jeff that you got to have in your church. When I think about faithfulness, and we're going to talk about that tonight, just one of those. You know, he just, you know, we took over a church in Baton Rouge, and we relaunched that in December, and it's going really well. But Jeff, one of the ones that came to me that lives not far from Santa Mall campus, and he goes, Pastor Mark, I want to help you over there in Baton Rouge. And I'm like, man, I can use the help. Thank you. And, man, he's there serving and doing whatever needs to be done, doing the parking outside, leading a team, and just a good man, loves the Lord. And even in the midst of his loss and everything else, lost his dad not long ago and everything, who was in the church, great man of God, just never stopped serving. And so, Jeff, I appreciate you so much. You're truly a faithful man, and you're a man of God. So thank you. Why don't you stand up, Jeff? I appreciate you, buddy. Come on, y'all, give him a hand clap, amen. And I've got all my kids. I got 8 kids, if you didn't know. I got 4 boys, 4 girls. They're all over the place right now. They're serving all different campuses. And so otherwise, my boys would be here with me. Maybe next time, if after I preach, y'all invite me back, then I might bring my boys. We have like the Van Trapp family. And so my whole family sings and worships, and they do incredible things. So, but are you guys ready to hear a word from the Lord? I mean, I know you got invited to come tonight, but it wasn't just to eat jambalaya. It was to eat something spiritual that's going to feed your soul. But I'm just letting you know, it's also going to challenge your soul. And so, but if you really want to, you know, raise your testosterone level spiritually, you're in the right place. You made the right choice to come here tonight, because I believe that this message tonight can totally change your life. Young man, this message could just alter your complete life. I mean, this is that kind of message is going to do that. But you got to want it. Do you want that? Do you desire that? Do you guys want that? Yeah. All right. So you need to be hungry and you need to be ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
Come on. These are real men, right? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. And we're going to let God do something here tonight. So let's pray. Father, we just come to you, God. And Lord, I thank you for all these men. I thank you for Pastor Marvin, Lord, and opening up his church, and Lord, just allowing us to come here today with all the stuff that's going on in our lives. Lord, just let this night be a hallmark night, oh God. Let it be just a high watermark in all of our lives, Lord, of what you're going to do and speak to all of us in this room, God. For Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you're going to take my tongue and you're going to use it as your instrument and your tool to write upon our hearts your very word and your very truth. Lord, we love you, and God, we honor you in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap, guys. Let's give God praise. Come on, give God praise in the house. Come on. Amen. Well, I think we have the scriptures on the screen. Am I right? Why don't you pull up that first scripture in Psalms 12 and 1. Guys, what I want to talk to you about tonight is about being faithful men. Faithful men. I want to read this scripture, and this scripture wasn't just for a few thousand years ago, about 3,000 years ago. This scripture is real today as it was then to David when he said it. And I want you to see what he says. He says, help, Lord. When you ask for help, that means there's a problem, right? He says, help, Lord. For the godly man ceases to be. Help, Lord. What's he need help for? Because the godly man ceases to be. For the faithful disappear among the sons of men. Wow. Guys, basically what David is saying is there's an endangered species. And it wasn't just for then. When I look around in the church, in the world, the scripture just comes to my heart and my heart's cry where I want to say, help, Lord. Because godly men are disappearing. The faithful are disappearing from the earth. They're an endangered species. You know, there are some species wiped off the earth. They're on the, you know, extinct list. They're gone. There won't be any more. You know, here in America, what did we almost wipe off the earth here in America? That was a hallmark here. Bald eagle, the buffalo. Buffalo, that's another story, Eddie Joe. We're in Colorado riding horses, and this dude asked us to load about 150 buffalo off his 100,000-acre ranch. We pull up an 18-wheeler alongside of a little pen, and buffalo are off on the range. And we had about 15 riders, and me, Eddie Joe, and a Mexican brother, we jumped on our horses and made it out to where the buffalo were. And then buffalo, as soon as they saw us, they started running. We ran wide open on our horse and wheeled them around just like in the movies. We were shouting, too. We were hollering. We couldn't help it. You're supposed to try to be quiet. We couldn't help it. I felt like they had a camera on me. Eddie Joe shouted, woo-hoo! We just running wide open across the Blue Yonder. Jumping cactuses, jumping ravines. I'm alive, wide open. I mean, wide open, rattlesnakes, everything. And my boys are out there on horses. I'm like, oh, God, don't kill them. Don't let them get ran over. And so, man, we're running these buffalo and thinking we're going to get them buffalo in that 18-wheeler. We're going to get them up to this fence and then turn them that way. Well, they went right through the fence. And after every horse is worn out and about 5 hours later, we finally, a team of the guys ended up getting one buffalo back at the ranch in the pen. And as soon as they get it in the pen and close the gate, they go, woohoo, we got one of them. And the buffalo jumped out of the fence and took off. But the buffalo, we almost wiped off the face of the earth. And they've come back, and they've come back strong. They were on the endangered species list. And so what did we have to do to get them back? We had to protect them. So we had to protect them. And we had to make sure that we were birthing more of them. So you had to birth more of them, and you had to protect them. And guys, that's why, Pastor, you need real men. That's why you men need to be coming together as men, because real, faithful men, godly men, are on an endangered species list. And it's our job to make sure that we're birthing them, bringing them up, and protecting them. Because we live in a land and in a world that wants to basically take their masculinity away, spiritual and physically, and destroy the men. And the problem is, what I see in the world today is I see men that could be faithful men disappear in plain view. Where they could have been faithful men and they could have been godly men, they just fade into the culture. And instead of being something special that is protected, they end up being something of a nuisance. Instead of being a buffalo where you can be protected and see that grow and see that herd grow, they end up being a nuisance animal, more like a Nutri-Rat. That you could, government will pay you $5 to cut off a tail and bring it in. Or a hog. How many know a hog's a nuisance animal now? Now you can kill them anytime. And guys, that's why men are going down left and right, because they're nothing but a nuisance now. When you cease to be a faithful man and a godly man, you become a nuisance instead of being an endangered species. I'm the part of an endangered species, and I'm trying to lift the herd so that we can roam across the land once again. But to do it, we're going to have to help, ask God for help, because men are waning every day. We need God's help to get men to realize why they're really here. And that we're to be godly men, and we're to stand for what is right, what is true, and what is just. And we're to serve, we're to lead. You know, we need those men, and that's why this doing meetings like this is so important, and the fellowship with other godly men is so important. Well, you may ask, you know, what is a faithful man? You can bring up the definition. A godly and a faithful man is a man that can be trusted. They can be trusted. You know, the Bible talks about a man that can't be trusted is like a sore tooth. Pastor, you know what that's like, right? You just went to the dentist, right? Ain't no fun, is it? And you know what? It ain't no fun pastoring a bunch of sore teeth in the church when you can't count on men because they can't be trusted. Yeah, I'll be there. And then they don't show up. I'd rather you keep your mouth shut than make a commitment to something you know you never plan to do anyway. And so it's a man that can be trusted. His word can be trusted. He's reliable. He's reliable. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. Steadfast. He supports the kingdom of God like a pillar holding up the roof of a building. You see, that's what a godly, faithful man is. And that's what God is looking for. In the Bible, these men that we read about, they were faithful men. One of them is Daniel. Daniel was a faithful man of God. You know, I'll read you the scripture in Daniel 6:4. It says, then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could not find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful. You see, we need men when the world looks at, they're blameless. When the world looks at us and they try to find something wrong with us, they can't. You see, that's what a faithful man is. That's what a godly man is. And watch this. This is no grounds for accusation or evidence of corruption. And so as much as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was found in him. So a faithful man is someone who does not neglect. You know, there's a lot of men that neglect weighty things like their wife. Neglect raising their children. Neglect the local church. Neglect the example of a hardworking man that a Christian should be in our community. And when you neglect things, you're not faithful. So to be faithful, you got to be able to be examined, and there's nothing they can find in you. Paul said this is the way we're to live our life, above reproach. See, but pastor, what happens in the church, you know, when he talks about church leadership, you know, managing your own household well and, you know, not a drunkard and, you know, not after money and just, you know, begins to line all this out. The church will say, yeah, the pastor needs to be like that. No, the pastor needs to be like that as an example. Everyone's supposed to be like that. That's not just for the pastor. That's for everybody. Why do you think what an example is what you're supposed to be? And so he was blameless in that. Of course, Job was blameless. But Moses and Christ, they were faithful. They were called faithful. Moses was said of Moses, said he was faithful in all of his house. In the book of Hebrews, it says he was faithful in all of his house. And you know what it said about Jesus? The same thing. He was faithful in all his house. In other words, whatever, all the things that God told them to do, they did it. They did not neglect one thing. They were faithful in all the house. And that's how we've got to be in our own lives. You know, God is always looking for men who will be faithful, guys. He's always looking for it. You know, in 1 Samuel 2 and 35, it says this, "But I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and my soul. And I will build him an enduring house, and he will walk before me. He will walk before my anointed ways." So the key to a faithful man is not doing what you want to do. It's doing what God wants you to do. It says, I'm looking for someone that's going to do all in my heart and my soul. Today, you got a lot of people, they just want to go do what they want to do. And listen, your life is not yours. It belongs to God. And we shouldn't be, you know, people, I don't know what I want to do. You shouldn't care what you want to do. You should care what God wants you to do. And you should embrace what God wants. You know, we have schools. We have a couple of schools with elementary, all the high school, early learning, childhood development, the whole deal. And the whole thing is, you know, they try to, we're going to find out what the, you know, the kids, you know, want to be and what they want to do. And really, honestly, at the end of the day, is what the parents want them to do. But that's all wrong. We're teaching the kids that you need to find out what God wants you to do. And that's the lane you ought to walk in. It's not about going to do what you want to do. It's doing what God wants you to do. It's finding out what's his heart for you, and that's what you do. Guys, let me just tell you this. There is nowhere I'm serving, nowhere I'm at, that I would be at other than God asked me. You know, we just took over a wonderful campus in Baton Rouge, 60 acres, just, my goodness, buildings, 1,500-seat auditorium, gym, football fields, all that stuff. Let me tell you something. I would not be there if God wouldn't have sent me there. Matter of fact, I used to drive through Baton Rouge, and I called Baton Rouge Egypt because of the traffic. But I used to drive through Baton Rouge and literally lift my hands and say, God, thank you that you did not call me to this city. And here I find myself not only in the city, but living in the city because I flooded. And he said, not only am I going to put you in the city, but I'm going to flood you out so you have to move there. And I remember driving to Baton Rouge, going to my house in Baton Rouge from one of our other campuses. And I said, you know what, Lord? I said, I don't care. My life isn't mine anyway. It's yours. I lost my life a long time ago. My life belongs to you. You know what? Whatever you want to do with it, it doesn't matter. I'm good with that. And guys, that's how we got to live our life. You got to give up on what you want to do, and you got to yield to what God wants you to do. Another thing, you know, it says about God, because he's looking for faithful men, in 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, the first part of that scripture, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." Let me ask you something. Is your heart completely God's? Is your heart completely God's? Oh, Holy Spirit, I don't know. Okay. I can give you a little telltale sign. How many of you take 10% out of every dollar you get paid and give it to the church? Because if you don't, that's a telltale sign. You know why? Because where your money is, there your heart's going to be also. And so it's simple things that you can evaluate yourself to see where you're at. Now, I say that, and some of you kind of squirming and moving around. Listen, I say that not to condemn you. I say that to help you. Yeah, I told you I was one of them fluffy preachers. We sell steel-toe boots at our church. Actually, I'm not aiming for your toes. I'm aiming for your heart because that's what God wants. And if you really want to see God move on your behalf, If you want to see him do some great things in your life, then sell out. Then give everything to him. Amen. Give everything to him. And you watch what he will do in your life. You watch what he'll do in your marriage. You watch what he'll do in your children. You watch what he'll do in the influence. You watch what will happen in your life. Young men, sell out to God. Whether you have an example of it or not, you sell out to God. You be the example. Amen? You know, in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And so, guys, the only way the gospel is brought forward is if God finds truly faithful men that's going to make their life about this. And listen, it isn't just for the pastor. As a matter of fact, the pastor's role is to equip you to do the work. This isn't a spectator sport. This is a participator's war. And we need to get in it and be a part of it. And so we need faithful men who are going to carry on the mission of God the way God intended it, after his heart. Now, the thing about faithfulness is God rewards the faithful man. He rewards you. Faithfulness is always rewarded, by the way, always. One of the ways he rewards it is check this out, through service. I'd be taking notes if I was you, but I ain't you. But if I was you, I'd be taking notes. One of the rewards is service. It's service. And let me explain that. In 1 Timothy 1:2, it says, this is Paul talking. He's saying, "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me." Watch this. "Who has strengthened me," watch this, "because," cause and effect, "he has strengthened me because," watch this, "he has considered me faithful, putting me into service." A lot of people walk in no power because they're not faithful. Amen. They walk in no power because they're not faithful. I've prayed and watched people healed. I've been supernaturally healed, dying in a mountain with a doctor right there, leaving my body supernaturally healed just like that. I've seen weather stopped by a prayer many, 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 many times. I've watched God move supernaturally in resources and opening doors. And I mean, my whole life is just a litter of miracles that has taken place over and over and over again. But let me tell you something. If you want that life, you got to be faithful. Amen. And when God finds a man that's going to be faithful, you know what he does? He puts you to work. I mean, you ain't going to go in a bunkhouse, Eddie Joe, and you got 10 guys up there with their dirty socks and underwear, and you know you need a job being done. You're not going to get someone that's going to give you a sore tooth. You're going to get someone that's going to go out and get the job done. You're going to look over there at that salty one and say, "Hey, man, I need to get this job done. This is very important. Can you go and get that done?" See, if you want God to use you, you can't be laying around and as a worthless man, as a nuisance animal, like a hog or a Nutri-Rat. You got to be someone that when you look, they say, "Wow, that's something to behold right there. That's an endangered species. That's a real man of God," because they're disappearing on the face of the earth. And when someone sees one, they recognize it. They recognize it. And I'm going to tell you, someone else that recognizes it, God recognizes it. If you want to be used by God, then become a faithful man. If you're cloudy on what that is, it's a man that can be trusted, reliable, and steadfast. Someone who supports his kingdom 100%. You see, that's a faithful man. And you'll be used in the service for God. How many of you are serving in the church? Or how many of you are just sitting around warming a pew? How many of you are trugging along with pastor? Or how many of you are mooching off of the pastor? And off of everyone else who's being faithful around you? Listen, I don't mind if you mooch. I tell them, guys, look, you want to keep mooching off of us, that's fine. I'll keep pulling your sorry tail, but what could we do if we all started pulling together? Because we're all hooked up together. Now I'll pull you because you're dragging your feet. But what could we do if everyone put their back in it and begin to move forward? I'll tell you what we can do. We can change the world. I'll tell you what would happen here. All of Hammond would find out about what's going on here. You couldn't build enough buildings. I'll tell you what would happen. Your wives would fall in love with you and dream about you every night. Let me tell you something. Jesus is irresistible to a woman that's looking for it. Your children honor you, and they won't be ashamed to introduce you to someone. They'll be proud of you, and they'll talk about you to others, and others will talk about them about you. And you want respect and earn respect. A man just wants to sit around and do nothing and flip the channels. Oh, I need respect in this house. You know, you need a good whipping from someone like me. And I can do it. You don't like it? Come do something about it. Change. Change. You don't like what's being said and it's hitting you in the heart? Change. Get involved. I don't care if it's parking, if it's ushering, whatever it is, get involved. Well, that makes, I have to get here 30 minutes before church to be able to, you know, do the parking ministry and all that. Oh, wow, God's asking so much from you that you got to come 30 minutes early for church. Woo, man, you're really sacrificing there, man. Think about that a second. When Christians were getting their heads cut off. And today are getting their heads cut off in other countries because of their faith. Watching their kids be put on stakes and poles ran through their kids saying, deny the faith or I'm going to put this kid on this pole. And ramming the kid on that pole, killing their child, and say, all you got to do is deny Christ. And they say, I'm not doing it. And we can't show up 30 minutes early for our stinking service? God help us when we stand before God. See, real men, they had no problem with serving. I tell you what, sorry men don't have any problem with doing what they want to do. Because this is what I've found in life. You do whatever you want to do. I ain't got time. I ain't got time. Baloney. You do whatever you want to do. You find time to do it. And let me tell you something. The only reason we're still here is to build God's kingdom. That's it, guys. I mean, really, what's the other reason we're still here? That's it. That's it. That's the only reason we're still here. That's it. That's the only reason. There is no other reason. It's not so I can, you know, go do this or go do that. That has nothing to do with any bearing of what God wants from us. What he wants from us is to build his kingdom and then go home or be lifted up from this place. That's it, guys, period. When you get that in your spirit, you'll quit wasting time and resources and everything else. Amen? Service. He was put into service because he was considered faithful. He was strengthened because he was considered faithful. Another reward of faithfulness. I love this one. Watch this. Is more. It's more. Watch. Luke 19:17. It says, and he said to him, well done, thy good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be an authority over 10 cities. What's interesting is you think, okay, you know, more, I'm getting rewarded, I'm getting more. Take that mule that went out there and plowed a whole field. And mother mules, they would plow half a field. But this one mule in the barn, he went out there and plowed the whole field. And he gets back and he says, well, I did the whole field for master. Talking to the other mules. I did the whole field for the master. You watch what he can do me, I'm going to get more oats. I'm going to get me a bigger stall. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get a new saddle. I'm going to get a new harness. I'm going to get all this stuff because what I did, master comes in, feeds him the same as he fed everybody else. And he goes, man, tomorrow, you know what? You know what, old Eddie Joe, tomorrow? You did so good on that one field, I'm going to have you plow too. So you know what God's reward is? More work. When you do well with what he's gave you, don't look for Tahiti. You better be looking for more work because that's what's coming. Because he knows, I found a mule that'll plow for me. That's going to put his back in it. It's going to do what needs to be done. I'm going to give him more fields and more fields and more fields because he's faithful. But you know what, guys? Faithfulness is tested before it's rewarded. In Luke 16, 10 through 13, I'm not going to read it all, but I'll paraphrase it. I'm going to go into it a little bit to verse 10. It says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He was unrighteous in a little thing is also unrighteous in much. And then, well, let's go ahead to 11. Therefore, Eddie Joe said, I can preach to you, fall out the window, then we'll need a miracle to raise you up. There's no windows, so I guess if you pass out, we'll just slap you and get you up. Can I get an amen? Amen. Y'all caught that? Okay, in verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So here, guys, he is saying, listen, this is what he is saying. If you can't be faithful in your pocketbook, what do you think how's God going to be able to give you anything weighty? How's he going to be able to use you with any significance? Because if he can't trust you with money, he can't trust you with nothing. Because where your heart is, that's where your money is. Period. And you know what? The real reason people don't tithe is because they love money more than they love God. Matter of fact, Jesus said it this way. If you're not willing to give up all of your possessions and come follow me, you're not even worthy to be my disciple. That's Jesus. That wasn't Mark Sturman. That was Jesus. Direct quote. That was Jesus. So if you can't, why are you getting no money? Hey, I'm not getting anything from here. There's no offering being taken up for me. When you guys do start giving after this, I won't see any of that. The kingdom of God will, though. Amen. But here's the deal, guys. Just get right honest, real. Just like I told you before, if you're not giving, that's what he's testing you in. And then he tests you that, you know what? I'm going to make things tight to see what he does. And when you cut God first, when he makes things tight, you tell him exactly what you care about, yourself. Matter of fact, when I flooded, my house flooded. No insurance. The first act I did, when I found out it flooded, I called Cindy, knowing I'm going to be in a bind, have no insurance. My house just flooded, lost most of my stuff. First thing I told Cindy, get the checkbook because I'm writing a very generous offering to God, and I'm putting it in an offering. Because I wanted God to know that it didn't affect me at all. Matter of fact, it'll make me give more. You know what happens? Supernatural stuff. The next week, someone came off out the blue, just totally wouldn't expect it, and gave me 10 times the amount I put in that offering. But you know what I did? Man, it's miracle offering time. I gave that 10 times amount right to the miracle offering. Because I serve a mighty God. Amen. So you know what? When I needed $50,000 a few weeks ago, because I looked at the cost, everything, I'm 50,000 short. Can't move forward, 50,000 short. I said, well, God, this is your deal, man. I need 50,000 more. I didn't tell nobody, didn't ask nobody, didn't say anything. The government called me back, unsolicited. The government calls me back and goes, man, one of our agents pulled your paperwork and we realized you're raising your house like 9.5 feet, which is way above flood level. I said, yes, sir. We're going to call that just mitigation. So we're going to give you some more money to build your house. And we figured it up. We're going to give you 50,000 more. Guys, I can tell you these stories all day long. I can tell you these stories all day long. When my lawnmower broke and I didn't have money to replace it, I said, God, my lawnmower broke. He took a guy that lived on the other side of the state. He was a pastor, retired pastor, who had never met me, heard about me one time. The Lord woke him up in prayer, told him, you get that brand new John Deere lawnmower, and you find out where he lives, and you bring it to him. And after I prayed, 2 days later, there comes down my driveway a guy I'd never met before, never met me before, with a John Deere lawnmower, not knowing that 2 days before that, my lawnmower went kaput and dropped off that lawnmower at my house. Guys, you want to see things like that? Then get faithful to God. Amen. You know, giving is the one area he says, test me on this. And I have. And let me tell you something. You can't outgive God. Amen. You can't do it. And so you get more. But you're going to be tested in that. You're going to get tested. So you start. The enemy's going to rise himself up. He's going to try to challenge you. And you stay faithful. And you'll be amazed at what God will do. And the next thing, the next reward is approval. You get approval. So you get to serve. You get to have more responsibility. And you get God's approval. Because you know what God does? He goes, well done, my faithful son. You know what he does? He looks down at you. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So it's not just approval in heaven, guys. It's approval now, too. Amen. He's looking for men that he can look down and say, that's my son, and I'm pleased with him. And let me just tell you this. Every man wants to hear that from their daddy. Amen. Every man. I used to call my dad. He's dead now, but I used to call my dad, and I used to tell him things that were going on just because I wanted him to brag on me a little bit. I wanted him to go, man, I'm proud of you, son. And, boy, I'd tell him some stuff we're doing, and he'd go, oh, I'm so proud of you, son. I'd be like, I got a big old grin ear to ear. Amen? Let me tell you something. A lot of depression and a lot of issues that people face in life, it comes from not doing the right things. When you do the right things, your countenance is up. Matter of fact, I guess that goes back to money. Cain, because he didn't give the way he should, his countenance went down. The rich man didn't give what God asked, and his countenance went down. Everyone that does what they're supposed to do, your countenance is up. Because when you know God's pleased with you, you come out of that house hopping. You look in the mirror, and you know you're doing the right things. You're not on the internet searching pornography. You're not lusting after your neighbor's wife. You're not withholding what's God's to his house. You're serving, you're involved, you're loving your spouse, you're raising your children in the way of the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you look in the mirror, you feel good because you can feel the Father's approval on your life. That's what he told Aaron. He said, pray this, speak this over him. Speak this over him. Bless us and keep us, O God. Lift up your countenance upon us, O God, and be gracious to us. Let your face shine upon us, O God, and give us peace. You see, God, his countenance, when it shines on you, your countenance shine. Amen? The last one, guys, before I let you out of here tonight, is the crown of life. Now, this is cool. This is important. One of the rewards of faithfulness is the crown of life, okay? It says about the crown of life, he who remains faithful to the end will receive a crown of life. And what you do is you see that in James and Revelations. In James and Revelations, it says he who remains faithful, they're going to get the crown of life. And in the context of them both, it's about staying faithful when everything's not going well. Amen. Listen, anyone can be faithful when everything's going well. That's right. Listen, the nuisance animal can be faithful when everything's going well. But only the endangered species of a real man, a faithful man, a godly man, can stay faithful when everything ain't going all right. You know, I'll be foolish for a minute. I'll be foolish and just for a minute, so that, you know, the last season of my life has been tough, but I had a lot of people a lot tougher than me. My dad committed suicide, blew his chest out with a shotgun. Totally not him. All right, right after that, I get handed the campus in Baton Rouge, which is financially a wreck. And the pressures of all that was heaped upon me. And then in the midst of all that, the flood hits and loses my house, my daughter's house, my mother-in-law and father-in-law's house, and a bunch of people I care about's houses, and get flooded. And then we get thrust into serving for 2 months, just day and night, others, and just doing all of that and just going through all this. And let me tell you something. Not once did I think, oh, man, this is too tough. I need to just wrap it up. I need to crawl up in a hole. Because real men don't crawl up in a hole. Oh, they may crawl up in there, but God won't let you stay there. Elijah was up in the cave, and God said, what are you doing in that cave, boy? Get out of that cave and go do the things I told you to do. Running from a woman, nothing less. Get out of that cave and go do the things I called you to do. So the crown of life, guys, only comes when you've been proved. Amen. You know the problem is? The problem is we got too many 10-karat gold Christians when you could be 24-karat gold. But if you're going to be 24-karat gold, you got to go through some more fire. Because it's only in the fire that you really find out what's on the inside of you. You know, you can train. I was in the military. You go to boot camp, you train, you do all this. But until bullets are flying over your head, you don't know what you're going to do. And let me tell you something. You go to church and have all your Bible studies, and you can shout hallelujah and Jesus. But when the bullets are flying and when people are dying on side of you and things aren't going well and things are happening and it's tough and it's rough, and what are you going to do then? Because this convenient Christianity, listen, Christianity without sacrifice isn't Christianity at all. When you remove sacrifice from Christianity, you remove Christianity from the person. If you want a life without sacrifice, you can have it. You can be a nuisance animal. And you can die along with the rest of them. But if you want to be honored among men, among your family, And you want to be in the hall of fame in heaven? Let me tell you something. Then you stand up and you be the man that God's called you to be. It's hard. It's hard. I know it's hard. But through Christ, all things are possible. It's not just hard. It's downright impossible. But in Christ, everything is possible. And it all boils down to being faithful, guys. The crown of life. Look. Crown, that actually means a mark of royal exalted rank. That's the meaning there. Crown of life. Crown means a mark of royal exalted rank. And life is Zoe, which is the absolute fullness of life, is what it means. And so you know what God's doing? To get that crown, you got to go through some things and still be faithful. So you know what he can do? So he can look and he say, hey, that guy over there, mark him, because that's a real man. I put him through the ringer. I allowed him to go through the ringer. I allowed all that stuff, and he still stayed faithful. You know, the one of the greatest men in the Bible, and you're going to trip out when I tell you this, one of the men in the Bible that I love the most is Lazarus. And I'm not talking about the Lazarus that he rose from the dead. I'm talking about the Lazarus that sit at the rich man's gate and the dogs licked his sores. You're like, what? Because he loved God, not because of what God gave him, but because he was just God. Amen. And he was willing for his whole life to be a life of suffering to reach this one worthless dude that never helped him. He allowed his whole life to be a life of suffering and still love God, realizing that the little bit of suffering he had to do here can't even be compared to the glory that we're going to receive there. Where's that girl with the pads? She left? Anybody know how to play pads? That's all right. Don't worry about it. That's all right. Sometimes you hide from them. You hide behind that music. We ain't no hiding in here. Right? But listen, where God marks you and says, now I'm going to give you the fullness of life. I'm going to give you the fullness of life. Someone got some guts? You got some testosterone, bro? You going to try it out? Well, let's see, man. Let's see. Let's check it out. Turn it down just a little. Press them down a little bit, brother. There you go. Put that pedal down. Put that pedal right there. There we go. Good job. Come on, y'all. Give him a hand clap. You're doing a good job, man. At least he got the guts to get up here and try it, right? You're doing good, by the way. Turn it up just a little bit. That's good. The fullness of life. Guys, I'm going to tell you, that's not a pipe dream. I live that dream. I go home tomorrow. It don't matter to me. I'm only here for others. My life's been lived. I know where I'm going. But let me just tell you this, guys. The fullness of life. See, people, man, I want to, you know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask, think, or imagine. If you look right above that, that's the fullness of his love. That you experience the width and the depth and the height, the fullness of his love, the fullness of life, which isn't found in cars and trophies and buildings and accolades and pats on the back, is found in your relationship with Jesus Christ and in your faithfulness with God. Guys, that's where it's found, period. But you got to make a decision. Because I'm standing here as pastor, as one of God's shepherds, as one of God's generals. And I'm saying, help, Lord. They're disappearing. Help, Lord. For the faithful are disappearing off the face of the earth. What you got to ask yourself, are you going to be a nuisance animal? Or are you going to be an endangered species? Because God wants to make you an endangered species. He wants to make you a great man. But you got to decide that you want that. And you got to sell out your heart to him, guys. I mean, not halfway either. I'm talking about 100%. Listen, all that mess that you guys are dealing with and all the social media and all the garbage from Hollywood and all that, you can decide to let that influence your life. Or you can decide to let the word of God, who praise God, man's taking notes. Got his Bible. Or you could decide to let the word of God be the ruler of your life. Amen. Let me just tell you this. Nuisance animals, they go with Hollywood and the culture, and they go that route. Listen, most pastors don't even like me, because they think holiness is something weird. No, holiness is God. Let me tell you something. This Bible, that's all that matters in life right there. Don't listen to Hollywood. Listen to the word of God. Don't listen to culture. Let the word of God light the path before your feet, because it will. But you got to decide right now, because you're not boys anymore. You're young men. All you're over 13, right? Then you know what you are? You're men. So you know what you need to do? Start acting like men. Pastor, take these men and build this church. Reach this community. You ain't too young. Samuel was 8 years old. And he told the high priest, high priest, you got sin in your life. You need to get out of your life. And God spoke to him and guided him. David was just a young man your age. And God used him to slay a giant. Timothy was a very young man. In the Bible, in the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit and Paul, told him, don't let people despise your youth, But stand up and be the men that I've called you to be. In your actions and your holiness. Pursue holiness. Pursue righteousness. Pursue these things. And you will do well. Stay on your feet, everybody in here. Guys, I don't know what you came for. But I know what I came for. And that is to bring every man in this room to the next level. Whatever level you're at, and if you ain't walking on water, you need another level. Whatever level you're at, God's calling you to the next level. He's calling you to make that step to the next place. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not calling you up here. I'm not putting a mic in your face. I ain't doing any of that. And I ain't closing my eyes. And ain't no one else closing their eyes. Because this is the deal I know. If you can't stand up in here, you sure in the heck ain't going to stand up out there. If you're ashamed of God in here, you're useless anyway. Now let me ask you this. How many men in here, God spoke to you and you know you got some things you got to change? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise it up. Raise it up. Praise God. I thank God for your honesty and your realness, because that's what I tried to give you. Guys, I can't give you anything but that. God brought me here. I may never see you again. I may die going home. I may never get to see you again, or you may die before I see you again. Listen, sell out. Sell out. And you know what? This real man, it needs to be a monthly thing. You need to meet. You need to be challenged. You need to roar. You need to be the men that God's called you to be. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for all these men that have lifted up their hand, oh God. Lord, that you're going to do a great work in their life. Lord, I don't know these men in this room, but you do. And I never know what's going to come out or how it's going to come out. But Lord, you know how to wake up a sleeping giant. And I know there's some giants that have been woken up in this room, oh God. I bind the enemy that's going to try to steal what you have been given tonight. I bind that enemy right now. Listen, whatever what God has given you tonight, you better not let it go by the wayside. You better hold on to it, and you better implant it inside your heart, or the enemy will steal it, and it'll never come to fruition or fruit. I'm praying, God, seal this word on the inside. You have sent forth your word. Now let it perform what you have called it to perform, oh God. I pray and ask, Lord, I know how to do nothing else but what you have told me. Blessed are you, God, for you're holy and you're righteous. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, give God praise, guys.